copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I live in Ukraine and work in One Hope, and primarily we focus on engaging children and teenagers with God's Word. And our primary goal is not just to target numbers of children reached and teenagers, but really to see transformation of their lives. So we do believe that God's Word has a transforming power, not only for children, but for everybody. I was raised in a pastor's family, so I would say that I spent my childhood not on the playground, but in the church. And I love my church, and I love serving there. For the last 10 years, I was involved in youth ministry, leading of Bible study groups and discipleship. And so the topic of transformation, it is not just the area that I do in the church, but it is also the area where I struggle most. Because for me, it is also the big question, how should I change? If I cannot change myself, if I don't know what to do, I am finding out that I cannot help others. So today we will talk about change. And let me share my screen with you. So transformation, how do people change? We know that the gospel of Jesus Christ promises us a changed heart, but so many of us are stuck, especially our disciples. We tend to make sinful choices over and over again. And somehow we are trapped in those repetitive selfish behaviors. And there are many techniques of changing behavior, but how does genuine biblical change take place in everyday life? So I would like to present you a diagram that was written by Timothy Lane and Paul David Tripp. It is called the tree illustration. And it is serving as a basis for the model of how transformation is taking place. It is just one of the illustrations. You can also find another illustrations. So the first what is happening in our lives and in the lives of our disciple is the heat. It's number one. So the heat is an external situation. It can be also called as trial or temptation in which we find ourselves when we react in a kind of really bad way. So when you're late for church, when your wife or husband starts a fight, when children are misbehaving, when you spill your coffee over your shirt, when you are sick, when you miss a bus or a plane, when something goes wrong in your schedule and your usual day, that's usually the place when our bad reaction takes place. And often we want really to blame the heat situation for what we do, say, or think. Usually we blame the heat for the fruit. And there are many ideas about how to be changed. And one of the most popular advices is just to change the situation. So if you have some trouble and conflict, just change where it is happening. You know, the simple observation shows that if you live with somebody, you surely have conflicts. If you're alone, you have less conflicts with others. So some say that you should live separately and be in peace, but that just doesn't work. I found out that I myself can be the most peaceful person ever if I live without my family, if I don't spend time with them, if I do what I want, where I want, and how I want, and nobody can do anything with that. So I have no fights with my friends if I don't spend time with them. I have no issues with people in the church, no challenges in the ministry, if I simply don't attend the church and do not serve. But is it the real solution? No, because the situation, the heat or storm just stirs up everything that was inside the person. It is like shaking the bottle until the water comes out. The water or juice or Coca-Cola or just dirt. So it is not the situation that makes the person hate, abuse, or lie, or watch pornography, and do anything else that is considered wrong. The situation just creates the pressure, and this pressure increases everything that is inside of the person. I have heard a lot, I am not married, but I have heard a lot that many think that they are quite good and godly until they marry. And is it really the marriage that makes people bad and make them sin? No. The marriage and the spouse next to you is just shaking you and revealing who you are and what you have inside. So even the good days and God's blessings can also be that kind of situation, the heat that stirs up your bottle. I can be richly blessed by something and totally misuse the gift. And then I say, well, God, the gift that you have given me made me sin. Take it away. This is how the rest, the gift of God, can be transformed into laziness, or the great benefit of work can be transformed into workaholism. Sometimes even when God is blessing other people, it also stirs up my battle, and I want to do something to hurt them. So the next stage is a bad fruit. It's number two. It's what we do, say, or feel that is really wrong. And we often talk about changes and call our disciples to change. But the conversation usually goes around something that is outward, that we see outwardly. And so people start to evaluate themselves only on the basis of the deeds, not about the heart. So they target the actions. They try to stop bad actions or bad words, use some techniques that should stop them. Let's say that I come into the room and see two people fighting. So I shout to them, stop. Why is your body and shoulders so tense? You should relax. You should breathe in. You should breathe out. Count to 10 and stop fighting. You know, my friend once told me that he can be quickly relaxed if he's in anger after he punches something. I just hope that something, not someone. So I have Googled ways how you can release your anger. And one of the ways is punch someone, preferably the someone who made you angry and person feels rested. But still, it doesn't deal with something deep in the heart. So the attempts to change the behavior are similar to planting a thorn tree and expecting to get apples in the summer. Summer comes, no apples are seen. So you go to the nearest market, you buy nice, good looking apples. You come back and you staple those apples on your thorn tree. So for several hours or several days, it still looks like an apple tree, but then it just rot and fall apart. So you cannot produce good fruit in the long term if you don't have that inside. Let's say that the thief is stealing and we say that he should stop stealing. So today he won't steal. Does it mean that he stopped being a thief? No. Usually the situation shows that he will steal something again when he has a good opportunity for that. So God is concerned about the behavior, but the real integrity means that you act godly even when nobody sees you. So it's not really about the fruit, it's about your heart. And Jesus said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So the heart is symbolized here by root. It's number three. The root is what we believe and what produces the fruit. So if the fruit is bad, it means that it has bad source. It has bad root. So we should understand that we are talking here only about believers. Bad root doesn't mean that the person doesn't know God, doesn't follow God, doesn't go to the church. We are talking about Christians who sometimes get some wrong or sinful idea and belief, or replace God and put something else in the center of their hearts and start worshiping it. So the wrong idea that we worship is called the idol in the Bible. It's not just the object. And John Calvin said that the human heart is the idol's factory, because anything has a potential and capacity to become that idol. We tend to sin when we really want to get something or when we didn't get it and we are angry. For example, you want respect. The respect is good, but when the respect becomes your main desire and you don't get that, you get angry and then you do something. When the ministry becomes the center of your life and worship, you usually start neglecting your family. If you desire deep relations and sex, and we are created as relational and sexual beings, so it is good in the beginning. But when the relations or sex becomes the main desire of the person, he goes and gets that. He knows the biblical truth about, for example, no sex outside of marriage, He knows God's high moral standards, but he doesn't care anymore because he wants to get the desired ones. And so God has created many beautiful and good things like food, our body, relations, sex, abilities, rest, work, etc. But anything good in this world has a really great potential to become an idol because our hearts are producing those idols. And our sinful nature just want to stick to something beautiful and start worshiping it without the Creator. And the thing that connects the right and the left trees here is a cross, is a gospel. So the gospel is where we exchange our bad roots for good roots. And when we become Christians, Jesus commands us to pick up the cross, deny ourselves, and follow him. So when we see the bad fruit, we should target the bad roots that we have and find out what wrong ideas do I have, what do I believe, what do I worship, what is so important for me that I'm ready to sin in order to get it, or I will sin if I don't get it. I remember once my professor asked us to write down three things or the names of people who we don't imagine our life without. And then he asked, what if God takes it away? How will it change your relations with him? And I remember that my first thought was, if I lose that, if I lose that person or that thing, I don't have another reason to live. And I really don't want to have that God. So the most beautiful, God's presence, they can turn into my little idols and the center of my worship. So, you know, out of those three things that was written in my paper, I lost two. And it wasn't just a sin, they were real people. And every loss was like the world end for me. But at the same time, each time I had to rethink if I really love God more than him, his gifts, if I still will love God even if he takes something away. And so the cross gives us all the resources that we need for our hearts to be transformed. So we know that the heat situation is not responsible for reactions and all the fruits are produced by the roots. And so the biggest question is how do you define the heart of problem? And that is why we should ask ourselves, why do I do what I do? There are many verses in the Bible telling about our deceitful hearts. And we know that God knows our hearts. And he uses such situations to show us what is happening inside of us. So the scripture illuminates our darkness. And we know that the passage is talking about us. The Holy Spirit is talking to us and giving that kind of itchy feeling inside. Also, our friends, our families, our spouses talk to us and show something that we either tend not to see in ourselves or pretend not to see. And so when I talk to some youth in my church and I'm asking them about how they are and how is their spiritual growth, they usually say that, yeah, everything is great, we are growing. And when I ask them, how do you grow? They don't know. One girl said that she's growing when she's sleeping. I am not sure that spiritual growth happens when you sleep. But the real growth happens when you grow in knowledge of God's holiness and in your depravity. The more you grow in relations with God, the more you see your own darkness and you want to be cleansed. So most people come to Christ and they radically are changed in the very beginning. And they have that fire for Jesus, first love. But then it goes away and they stop growing. And the cross that should expand in us, like we should transform in the image of Christ, it just stops. And then 10 years later, you look at them and see that the person is still the same. Same anger control issues, disorders, relations broken. And then if you ask what happens, somebody says, well, this is just Johnny, you know, that's his character. But to be transformed, we need to have biblical truth about hearts, about our own beliefs. So this is, process is really hard and we need to do the evaluation all the time about what have I learned new about God's character, what have I learned new about myself in the light of the gospel, what bad fruits does the heat situation reveal to me, what roots stand behind my bad fruits, what does God say or do in Christ regarding my bad roots. So talking about transformation, I remember when I was confronted by my friends who said that they caught me lying to them on a regular basis. Surely I was denying that. But later I was thinking about that really deeply and asking myself, why do I do that? So I was asking myself all the time, why do I do what I do? And how should I stop lying? Just shutting my mouth or trying to escape my friends? So I was asking myself, when does it happen? Usually it happens when we are together. What is the context of situation? They're asking relating to some painful areas of my life. And then why don't I tell truth? Because I don't want to expose myself. What I'm trying to hide that I'm so afraid. I really don't want them to know I'm not that kind of a good person. And then I was asking myself, why am I so afraid to admit I'm a sinner and try to really do something? Because they will turn their backs on me. And so why am I afraid of their reaction? Because I will lose their friendship. So in order to keep them, I will lie. So that was the why process. And only when I spent enough time thinking about that, I got to the root of my problem. And my problem was that those relationships were in the center of my heart. And I neglected God, neglected His commandments, didn't behave godly because I wanted to keep them in my life. So in the light of the gospel, with the confrontation help of our closed ones and self-evaluation, we find out what is happening in our hearts. I would like us to spend the next 2 minutes in personal reflection time. How is your spiritual growth? What sins have you recently discovered? And with whom should you bring your tree model? So this is your time to think about that and make notes. So now talking about the most practical stuff, like old habits and new habits, it is a good question, how do they form and how should they be broken? So the habit is a routine of behavior that is repeated regularly, and it tends usually to occur subconsciously. So new behaviors, they can become automatic because they're repeated so many times. Old habits are really hard to break, and new habits are hard to form, because the behavioral patterns that people repeat become imprinted in neural pathways. And so that brings us to the brain. We should learn the new term. Maybe it is new for us, maybe it's not. So it is the neuroplasticity. It is also called as neural plasticity or brain plasticity. So it is the ability of our brain, of neural networks, to be changed, to grow and reorganize itself. It means that that is the way how we learn the new abilities. Those neurons, they form the new connections, and that is how we learn to do something. So how does the habit form? Every time you do something, every time you see something, your brain produces new neurons that create those connections between them. The repetition and practice strengthen those neural connections. So the more you do, the sicker. And the bigger the connections get, the stronger habit you have. So it can happen intentionally when you pursue some new habit or some new skill like playing a musical instrument. Or it can happen subconsciously when children just learn things just by doing them. So later, having the same situation, having the same context, something triggers you and you have a really strong tendency to do something the way it was done before, because this action or your choice becomes automatic. You just do it. You don't think about that. So no wonder if you want to break the habit, it is really hard. Hard because the brain has a really strong connection and even the body responds in a special way. We all know about muscle memory. It means that even if we forget something theoretically, our body still remembers and hence still remember how to do that. It means that firstly, we do something, then it gets into our brain and into our body, and it becomes a part of us, and then it becomes our master. Then we are subdued to something that we already have. So firstly, you think, and your thoughts, they create that neural connection. And the more you think, the stronger it becomes. So there are bright and dark sides of neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity makes your brain resilient. But from other hand, like the dark side, is that neuroplasticity means the brain is always learning. You would say, why it is a dark side? Oh, well, because the brain is neutral and the brain doesn't know the difference between good and bad. So you can learn to do good stuff, you can learn to do bad stuff, and your brain will do everything that you learn it to do. It is learned while it is repeated. And so the brain just takes it, grabs it, and grows it. So that is why when many Christians are struggling with some things, it's really hard to overcome them because they become the behavioral patterns, sinful patterns. And so they need to fight it every time when they take the action. And so the good question, can we break the habit? Yes and no. So yes, because the old connections, if you don't use them, it means you don't do the same action or you don't think that way. Those connections, they become thinner, thinner, and sometimes they disappear. But at the same time, not all connections disappear, especially when the person spends too many years practicing the same action or the same pattern or even the same type of thinking. So it means that there should be grace to those who are struggling because there are old patterns, they don't let them go easily. And time to time, person still will do the same old habit, still will fall to the same sin. And it's normal. Not normal in a way like we excuse it and say like, well, I'm sinful, what do you expect from me? But more about that's expected because you're struggling with the patterns that you have built for so many years. So when you start a habit, it is hard. But you need to remind yourself about your goal, motivate yourself, and force yourself. So some habits are quick to appear, others not. You know, even 15 years ago, when I was in my university, I was told that when I get older, I won't be able to learn another language or another skill on a proper level because my brain won't function that well. So partially it is true because children and young people, they have a really plastic brain and it constantly learns new things. That is why the Bible says that you should teach the young man in the beginning of his ways. But at the same time, the recent studies showed that in many aspects of the brain, it is plastic, even in adulthood. That means that it can be changed. So you can really do something and you can transform. And God wouldn't call us to be transformed if it was physically impossible. But God has put the transformation process in our bodies, so it should be used. So in the Bible, we see that it gives us a good strategy how to start changing. And it is not to conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Because the thinking process and the thoughts and our imagination are causing the brain development and changes in the brain. It even influences the DNA. So you should start with your thinking, not with action, with your thinking. You should change the way you think. And many even secular sources tell about that. So God works, the work of the Holy Spirit, our confession and desire to be transformed is the first step. We should define our wrong thinking pattern, and then we should be opened for changing. So how really it happens? This process is described in Ephesians, first chapter, and it really struck me the way how Bible is clear about that. So the transformation of the mind is just the beginning of the process, but next is the principle of put on and put off. So you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self and to be made new. So after I renew my mind and hold on to the biblical truth, I should replace the old pattern with a new pattern. It is never enough just to stop doing something. Brain doesn't work that way. There should be created a new connection instead of the old one. And Bible talks about that, like put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Anybody who is stealing should not just stop stealing. It doesn't work, just stop stealing. But he should labor, so it means working, and even start donating to others, giving to others. So you're replacing one habit with another. If the person is addicted to the workaholism, it's never enough to say just stop working and go home. He comes home and he sits on the couch and he watches Netflix. So he, basically he's replacing the old sinful pattern on another not good healthy pattern. There is some kind of emptiness that should be filled with something if you want to break the habit. You don't just break, you should replace it. And so after the renewing of the mind, you are replacing, for example, the additional hours of work that you used to do with intentional rest hours. For example, not just sitting on the couch and watching TV, but spending the time, filling the time with family time. And it should be quality family time. It should be quality rest, good hobby. So there is intention behind that. It doesn't happen just automatically. So talking about replacing one habit with another habit, I'm coming back to my situation with my friends who said I was lying to them. After learning the root of my lying, sinful pattern, I confessed that before God and I accepted the biblical truth about myself. I was thinking about that I'm already accepted by God. I'm already loved by Him. He will never turn away from me. I don't need to prove anything. And even if I lose my friends, God is there. I should love Him more and I should struggle to be godly because I want to please God, not my friends. So the next time, standing next to my friends, I was on alert. I knew that something might happen. And when that moment of conversation came, when I had to make a choice to say the lie or not to say, I was reminding myself the biblical truth that I am accepted. And I forced myself to say the truth, not just to keep silent, not just not to lie, but tell the truth instead of lying. So replacing one habit with another. It was my victory in that battle, but all our life is a spiritual war. So it will be still a long way ahead of me to repeat the new pattern and to learn to do the new pattern until it becomes my habitual behavior. So the change doesn't happen on fruit level when you just stop doing something. The real change happens on the root level. When my heart believes the biblical truth, when I hold on to it and I made a decision to act differently on something that I know. So this is how change happens. And this is how bad habits are breaking and forming again through the transformation of the mind with God's truth and the principle of put off and put on. And all this time, we're not alone in this process because Holy Spirit is helping us and God's transformational power is as the body, the brain that reacts to the new thinking. And so if somebody is saying like, oh, I'm too old to change and learn new things, I'm just the way I am, say that that's not true because the brain can change and it will react and restructure if they start thinking in a new way. So it's more they are lazy or they don't have any hope or don't get enough encouragement. So let's just come alone and encourage them to still be transforming, to still ask questions and still look for that godliness in the life. And the last two are provide accountability if possible, especially if there are some addictions. It's almost impossible to struggle with that alone. And the last one is staying available even after saying goodbye. If somebody walks away from you or walks away from the Lord, from the church, we cannot chase them. That's their choice. But we should say that we are always available and always are ready to get them back and to welcome them back. They know where to find us. So we're still welcoming, opened, and let them do their own choices.
Great. Thank you, Anna. Appreciate that very much.